the shadows you can hear the sounds. The rumble of a hundred hellhounds. Cries of the banshee, terror of the Wendigo. You all they can't see, they don't just know where to go. It's the creature.
Whoa.
It's the creature.
Whoa.
It's the creatures from the supernatural.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore here on the Radio Horror Network. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mel Heflin, his co-host.
And tonight, we are talking about Weekend at Bobby's, which is a play on the words Weekend at Bernie's, which is a 1980s comedy movie about a couple guys whose boss is killed and they have to pretend to keep him alive. To throw out the suspicion that they could possibly have murdered him, which they didn't, because he was murdered by a hitman. And the hijinks ensue, and it even had a sequel, which, ugh, how long can that corpse stay fresh after that? But I digress. Mel Heflin has the plot synopsis for us, which has less to do with the actual creature we're talking about.
After Bobby discovers Crowley has no intentions of returning Bobby's soul, the hunter takes matters into his own hands. He calls on Sam and Dean for help after he unearths one of Crowley's deepest secrets. Meanwhile, Sam and Dean learn what Bobby does all day when they're not around. This was season 6, episode 4, and it originally aired October 15th, 2010.
October 15th, 2010.
What it feels was like I a doing? Lifetime ago.
Yeah, what was I doing? I was living on my own. My ex-wife and I think had just separated, or we were going to separate in 2011, I think. No, we separated again in 2010, sorry. So we were together for a year. We were together for a few years. We got separated once to try it, and then we got separated again to realize it's just not going to work. And so I was living on my own in Worcester with a couple of roommates in an apartment that wasn't too bad. But I digress. So, but I can't believe that season 6 was all the way back in 2010. And the show then lasted till like 21, and then so Okami. It's less to do with like Bobby getting Crowley to get his soul back. It's a Rufus story, honestly, because that's what the Okami is. It's a creature from Japan that's not supposed to be in America, and it's the whole season they talk about is about monsters not being where they're supposed to be, or being who they're supposed to be. The problem is, just like most of the monsters on the show, this just looks like some Japanese girl with bad teeth.
Yeah, just like any of the other Japanese yokai that they have done on the show. So the word Okami actually literally translated is wolf or great spirit, depending on the kanji of it. But there are also other iterations that claim that Okami refers to a dragon spirit.
Did you encounter any Okamis when you were in Japan?
I do not think so, but I have seen the shrines where they have the wolf and the Inari fox spirits and all that.
What is that?
They're beautiful. So a lot of the shrines over in Japan, the Shinto shrines, they have these large fox or wolf statues. And specifically the Thousand Torii Gates in Kyoto. You walk forever. It was so crazy. It was kind of during COVID and it was nearly empty. So we're just walking instead of all the videos you see shoulder to shoulder people. And we're going through all of these steps along this mountain. And there's just all these little fox shrines or wolf shrines along the way. And let me see if I can look up the name of it. The proper name for it. 1040. Okay. That looks it. Kinkakuji. Fushimi Inari Shrine. It was the Fushimi Inari, which is known for its thousands of torii gates.
The season six companion of Supernatural. By the way, did when we ever stop doing this, I decided I'm going to do the music show of Supernatural that just goes over every single song played on Supernatural.
Oh, cool.
That might pair up some episodes because there's a lot of songs on this show, and some of which aren't always completely easily recognized. Some of which obviously are pretty obscure. But sometimes you get like a really great hit, like God, I forget his name, but I think his first name is Christian. He was on Angel and the Librarians, and he's like Dean's old friend. And him and Dean get on stage and sing Willie Nelson's sing the song to the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic. But in this episode, we have Kenny Rogers, I believe it is, right? Kenny Rogers, the gambler. Know when to hold them. Know when to let them go.
Oh, yeah.
And Mel was just recently in Texas filming a cheerleader movie.
I
So
had a
this song is
blast.
very indicative of Texas, obviously. Know
Yeah.
when to hold them. Know when to let them go. Know when to part them. And the deed is done. I'm just singing just like him, you can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to see Mel dressed up like a cheerleader
In Texas.
in Texas, and she looks like she's 16 years old.
I'm adorable. We just posted the finishing funds campaign, so it's good
What is it
stuff.
about cheerleaders that people love so much, Mel? What is it? Is it just the fact that it's girls in short skirts? And they're aired, is it because they're so aerobic and
I think
they're
they're
so
peppy and they
flexible?
know how to lead. That too. That's a good one. But I
The
think it's because they're
physical,
so
yeah,
peppy.
you're going for the more emotional beat of it. I'm going for the more sexual, like physical beat of it. I'm assuming it's because they're so air. I'm assuming because they're so aerobic and flexible.
This is a great observation of the female gaze versus
Correct.
the
Most cheerleaders are usually also like incredibly in shape too, because let's face it, you got to be in shape to be a cheerleader. And I'm not saying you can't be an overweight cheerleader. You ain't getting on top of that pyramid though.
gaze. Yeah.
No. So, and there's reasons why, like, Bring It On comes out and everyone watches that movie. Or there's like cheerleaders in porn, or there's cheerleaders in like a lot of like modeling videos and things like that, or cheerleaders in like Britney Spears movie, music videos, or what's that famous cheerleader song from the 80s?
Mickey.
Yeah, so you get it. It's obvious. Male cheerleaders don't got much to their cost, their uniform. They're just wearing like what looks like a guy's workout gear at the gym.
The
Right?
guys definitely stole the show recently on the movie. Just the
Oh.
costumes, the short shorts. I'm in love.
But also, of course, there's the most famous of all cheerleaders, the cheerleaders for sporting teams. The LA Laker cheerleaders, the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders are probably the most famous. Yeah, speaking of Cowboys again, and this is a Cowboy story, I mean, but I digress. Let's back to Akami's. Enough of my fetish on cheerleaders.
No worries.
This season was about monsters doing things that they don't normally do, as I said, and they included migration, points out executive story editor Andrew Dabb. The writers looked to Japan for a monster not known to have migrated to America before. We were looking for the Japanese equivalent of a vampire or anything that we could make cool. And we ended up in the with the Okami, which is essentially the Japanese version of a werewolf. Interesting. We knew we could visually pull it off in production-wise, and also not something that's so weird that we'd have to have Bobby and Rufus sit for 2 pages and explain what it is. It's very easy shorthand, Japanese werewolf. I guess so. We wanted it to, I guess, okay, by the way, Japanese werewolf on this show means it's a crappy, shitty looking werewolf because they can't do a werewolf costume. Again, if we
Right.
ever get a production designer on the show, I would love to talk to him about, like, okay, what the hell happened with the budget and all of the monsters?
Especially the dragon. Like, come on.
Yeah,
It's just a man that melts metal with, oh God. So
I should really look into, I should look into like some special effects. And monster makers that worked on the show. Sometime in the future, I'm going to do that, and we're going to have them on, and we're going to talk to them about like what was going on with the budget of the monsters. I mean, you guys just Could the showrunner just not push the CW and be like, can you give us another $1 million so we can put this thing in a costume? I mean,
Oh,
once in a
gosh,
while
this one.
they did it well, and some and but most of the time they're wearing suits and they look like crap. I mean, this
I always
again,
got
you
really
know.
excited whenever they were bringing on a Japanese creature or myth of some kind because there are so many cool yokai. And it just every time it just falls flat. There's so many cool things that I would have loved to see brought into existence, you know, like
Right.
the will-o-wisp or just anything, the little floating flames. Like they're so cool. There's so much interesting lore. There's so many cool creatures and things, but here we go. Just a Japanese woman with funky looking teeth. So the original,
Well, hold on,
the
let me finish the
Shinto
art.
belief.
Let me finish the page. Akami is a Japanese word that means wolf or great god, as you said. But depending on how it's translated, it could also mean something like the deity with the big bite or the big biter god. The Akami has massive werewolf-like fangs, but it's not simply a werewolf born in Japan. There are differences, most notably that silver doesn't kill it. Instead, it has to be stabbed 7 times with a bamboo dagger blessed by a Shinto priest. Which we've talked about this before, is that like in the episode where the guys had to get drunk in order to fight a ghost, Japanese ghost,
Oh,
but
yeah, the drunk ghost.
Dean took the blade to the most he could find was like some Japanese like seafood cook, and he pours like the water on it and says the words or whatever. He's not a Shinto priest, but he could read the Japanese at least that a Shinto priest would read, and it was good enough for Dean because it does work, I guess. Well, sorry, lore has it that you encounter one in its home territory and treat it with kindness, they will turn treat you with kindness, such as guarding you from other dangers. Interesting. They have even been known to help lost travelers find their way back to the lodging. In fact, some Japanese folklore says that Akami are actually good monsters and they protect the villagers live near and only eat bad people. How does that translate into Akami traveling to America and chowing down on single white females? One theory is that the monster, mother of all monsters, was sending out psychic impulses that they couldn't ignore, making them a hungrier and less selective even before. Or maybe coming from Japan, where single white females would be a taste, would be a rarity. Perhaps they are just indulging in culinary carvings. Virtually, if you've ever experienced craving for an Akami burger, just throw one into a wood chipper. Wah,
Just like
wah.
Bobby did.
So, because she wasn't stabbed to death with a bamboo stick, shouldn't she just reform?
I guess it's very possible that complete dismemberment can take care of this creature. It may end up being a secret weakness, but
Excuse
nobody
me,
found
I'm going
that
to
out
point
because
out
nobody turned it into a wood chipper.
point of order. Speaking of werewolves who have been dismembered in ways that don't exactly align with how they're supposed to die, in the Monster Squad, the werewolf is blown up with dynamite and comes back together because it wasn't a
Oh
silver
yeah.
bullet.
I
Just
love
gonna
that part.
point out the werewolf is not killed by a, being blown apart.
I am so sad actually that they related the Okami to a werewolf. So in Shinto beliefs, the Okami is a wolf spirit regarded as a messenger of the kami spirits, and they would also offer protection against crop raiders such as like wild boar or deer. It was like a protection spirit. But there is some lore that I'm about to go into about the Okori Okami.
By the way, did you ever play the Okami video game?
No, I have not. It was actually so hard to look up stuff
So,
about this because it was just video game facts all over the place.
right, because there's a famous PlayStation 2 video game from 2006, which is incredibly popular, and I've never had a chance to play. I played a little bit of it, so I played like a demo of it. But it's and it got re-released on PS4, so if you want to get it on that. But it is a wolf that you play and you go on adventures. You go like you play like Legend of Zelda. You get like up your powers and things like that and get new weapons and things like that. But you play as a wolf. You play as a wolf Akami. So it was kind of funny that they actually got a lot of the lore right in this game because you are protecting your village and you are in the form of a wolf. Yeah, you're not a giant monster. You're not a girl with teeth. I don't understand why they couldn't just do a giant dog. Obviously, we never see Crowley's dog, which appears in this episode. We never see the thing Sam and Dean's fighting either. Whatever the hell that was called. Do you remember even what that was called?
No, I don't.
Okay, so go on with your stuff about the Akami. But yeah, there's an Akami video game, people. Yes, I remember it from 2006. Wish I had played it more.
Yeah, same. I wish I would have played it. Sounds good. So the Okori Okami in Japanese folklore is also known as the Okori Ini, which I'm guessing that has something to do with Inari, possibly. It's a ghostly wolf dog or dog-like creature that haunts dark mountain passes or roads through forests, which I used to live in one of those just not that long ago in Japan. The name translates
Wait,
to something awful.
the military base was in a forest?
Yeah, kind of. I accidentally ended up, so I left a friend's house a little later than I should have, and next thing you know, I'm driving through a dark forest in the mountain, and then I come across a freaking graveyard.
Cool.
Just in the middle of the forest, in the middle of a mountain, trying
Wow.
to get home. It was very surreal. It was almost like foggy. Like you do not want to end up after hours driving a Japanese mountain at night. I will say that.
Oh man, you
It
could
is
have had
very
your own
spooky.
adventure.
It would have been a lot more fun and less creepy had my 2-year-old not been in the car.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a little scary.
Pesky kids.
Yeah.
Go on.
So the name translates to sending off wolf or dog because this yokai trails closely behind travelers at night, appearing to send them on their way. In some cases, it may appear to be guiding them on their destination safely. Whether the Okori Okami is benevolent or malicious depends, though. If you are able to reach your destination without tripping or falling, it is a protective guardian. However, if you do fall, the wolf will pounce on you and rip you to shreds. And as all Japanese folklore, there's a loophole. If you somehow can pretend that you fell on purpose, the wolf will wait until you get up and continue to follow you home. The way you do this is you pretend that you're tired and are taking a rest. If you stumble, quickly get into a sitting position and say out loud how exhausted you are. Shindo iwa. And then you rest for a very short time before continuing on. That will trick the Okori Okami, and as soon as you start walking again, it will follow you on your way safely. There are also some accounts that suggest if you throw a sandal at the wolf, it will catch it and run away. Although the prospect of being followed home by a vicious creature is rather terrifying, on the positive side, as long as the Okori Okami is around, no other yokais will bother you. Because Japanese legends are just full of yokai just waiting nearby to mess with you.
So this Okami girl in this episode that attacks Bobby going after Rufus and Marcy, which is his next door neighbor who gets sprayed with her entrails. Honestly, he was just trying to trick Bobby to come over there for obviously, because she's into him.
Yeah.
But we get a
Poor
better
Bobby.
Marcy is okay, but I prefer the other female that shows up in this episode, Jody Mills.
Oh, yeah.
Jody Mills looking fantastic, which I forgot. This was after her husband and kid are killed coming back as zombies,
Yeah.
which is really unfortunate. Bobby pointing out, I got a body in the basement, I got a body in the backyard. So this Okami has like almost nothing to do with like the lore itself, because like again, we're talking about like a wolf that guards a village, and this is like some Japanese girl with bad teeth.
Right. Yeah, it's got nothing to do with werewolves. It's such a strange thing oh yeah, Japanese werewolf. It's not like a Rougarou or anything, where it's like nearly the same thing.
It's disappointing sometimes that they, I think they're just restrained by the budget that they have, and that's why they can't do the things they want to do.
They have so much CG though. Like so much, I don't know.
Yeah,
All
I
the
don't get
smoke
it.
from the demons.
Yeah, again, that I don't get either. I mean, it's obviously not hard to do Crowley's dog. That's very easy.
Yeah. I think season one was definitely the best because it was all practical. And you remember like the floating ghost boy? Like he looked so good. Like
Right. I
that
mean,
was
how much do you
amazing.
think it costs to do Scooby Natural?
Oh gosh, I wouldn't have a clue.
I mean,
Like
it don't
20 dollars.
think it's an episode of Scooby-Doo sandwiched into an episode of Supernatural. So don't forget the length of the cartoon of Scooby Natural, the cartoon itself, is the same as an episode of Scooby-Doo. They wanted to make sure they kept that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that makes it fit better. But again,
Yeah.
animation sometimes obviously is cheaper than doing live action. So especially if we outsource it overseas. What else do we have about commies?
So I've got their powers and abilities right here.
Sure.
They have super strength. They can casually overpower normal humans and dig themselves out of the ground.
Which they
Super
do in this.
agility. They're more agile and can silently cling to ceiling rafters to hide. Invulnerability. They can survive a shotgun blast, but they are not totally invulnerable, obviously, because the bamboo stick. Regeneration. As long as they are not completely dismembered or stabbed seven times with a special dagger, they can recover completely after several hours. And fangs. Okami have razor sharp fangs in which they devour their prey.
Which she does in this episode. Who plays the Akami in this episode? Do we know?
Let me look that up. She doesn't seem to be credited at all.
What? She should be listed as the
No.
Okami.
She should be. She didn't have a name in this, did she?
No.
Nope. I cannot find that information.
Even on the Supernatural Wiki?
That's what I'm checking now. At least I can't find it.
Yeah, it's not on the Supernatural Wiki either. Interesting.
Yeah.
And it's not on IMDb.
Nope, I checked.
Sad.
Agreed.
Well, I guess then that's all the notes I have for this episode of
I have
Supernatural Creatures and Lore.
a little bit of trivia. According to Bobby Singer's Guide to Hunting, the Okami is a cousin to the werewolf, but specific to Japan. Their characteristics are pretty much similar to their cousins, even their diet of human hearts, which we had kind of mentioned in this episode previously. And in the same book, it is also revealed that Bobby's first true intentional hunt involved an Okami. Ooh, fun trivia. This was Jensen Ackles' first time directing an episode of Supernatural.
That is correct. That is why Sam and Dean are not in this episode that much. Because Jensen was directing the episode. I remember that being a big deal.
Yeah.
His first directorial debut. So he wanted to direct one of these after 5 seasons of watching it happen, which a lot of the cast members have done that in various shows. They're on the show for long enough, whatever they get, they ask the producers, "Can I direct one of these?" And you get a bump in your pay scale, and you get to direct an episode. And they usually have it's an episode that they need a director, you know what I mean? Or directors just like, "Oh yeah, sure, I'll step down for an episode," you know what I mean? But most of the time it's
Yeah.
usually an episode that they need a director for, so they haven't gone out to the talent agency yet to look for directors or gone back to their directing pool to see who's available at the time. Did you know David Schwimmer from Friends has directed thousands of hours of television since Friends ended? That's why he is like
Huh.
one of the few friends you don't see acting as much.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he became a big director in television. So again, none of the Friends cast members ever need to work. You know, God rest Matthew Perry's soul. Kind of wonder what happened to his millions. You know what I mean? He didn't really
Yeah.
have any extended family. He wasn't married or have kids. But you know, Courteney Cox regularly works usually in Scream, and Matt LeBlanc had multiple gigs after Friends and after Joey was canceled. But you know, again, Sam and Dean, Jensen and Jerry got paid pretty well. They would never need to work again. Plus, they have like their own brewery. You know what I mean? Money they can make at conventions.
Living the dream.
They could become like Jonathan Freed, who was on Dark Shadows. He played Barnabas Collins, and for years after Dark Shadows ended, you look at his IMDb. He did nothing other than Dark Shadow, other appearances in other movies or documentaries or whatever. He lived on conventions for the rest of his life.
I know once I become a billionaire from being an actor, I'm going to do a shot-for-shot remake of Twilight with me as Bella and make you watch it.
Why? Okay.
I want to be an insane billionaire.
Oh my God, why would you want to remake that? There's so many other better vampire movies.
I mean, I could remake the entire series of Supernatural, but with me as Bobby.
I don't think that needs to be remade either. You should come up with something original or adapt someone's
No,
property.
Hollywood doesn't like original.
Oh, yes, that's true. Hence the announcement of what was just announced? Oh, Half-Baked 2 is coming out? Like, what the hell? I
Nothing
digress.
original, only remakes.
Yeah. Apparently so. So again, that's all the notes I have here for this episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore. You can find us on the Supernatural Creatures and Lore group. There is no Twitter. Was never able to get it back. Not that like it was under the old co-host and she can't remember the username and password, which is unfortunate. So you can find us on our own individual Twitters at Mel Heflin at Chris DSAV. Mel's cheerleader movie will be out at some point. You can check that out.
This fall.
Oh, this fall, fantastic.
Yeah.
And we'll
Check
be
out our
back.
funding campaign.
Fantastic. And the next character we're going to be talking about will be the Goddess of Truth, the next episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore. Don't forget to like us on iTunes, subscribe, leave a rating, Stitcher, Google
Five
Play,
stars, please.
Audible, yes, all that stuff. And send us an email, thatradiopower@gmail.com, if any questions. Thank you, everyone.
In the shadows, you can hear the sounds, the rumble of a hundred hellhounds, cries of the banshee, terror of the wendigo. You all they can't see, they just know where to go. It's the creature,
whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's the creature.